This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I would like to personally welcome you today, especially if you're watching for the very first time. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I'm delighted to know that we have those that watch every time we're on the air, and also we have new viewers each time that we broadcast. Now, today we have a very challenging topic that I'm calling, Who Shall Roll Away the Stone? Who shall roll away the stone? Please stay tuned as we discuss that subject today. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. I emphasize that it's free, and we want you to have it. We want you to be a part of studying the Bible with us, getting to know your Bible. We're all in this together. We're all studying together, and we want you to be a part of a large group of people who are studying the Bible in this fashion. And so we're going to pause long enough that you can learn more about the course and how you are able to receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
No storm can hide that greatest peaceful feeling, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining light.
I'm going to be reading today from Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse number 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome both brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? And when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said to them, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. And so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There have been many dark days in the history of the world. It was a dark day when sin, through Adam and Eve's disobedience, entered into the Garden of Eden and plunged the world into sin, suffering, and sorrow. It was a dark day when God looked down from heaven during the days of the righteous man Noah, and saw that the world had become so exceedingly sinful that God said, The end of all flesh has come up before me. It is a dark day when a tornado comes sweeping through the land from state after state after state, and leaving behind nothing but death and devastation. Yes, there have been a lot of dark days in the history of the world. But the darkest day of all was the day that Jesus died upon the cross. I want you to try to picture in your mind Jesus hanging on that cross. Jesus has a crown of thorns on his head. And because that crown of thorns had been pressed down upon his head, there's blood trickling all around his head from the back all around to the front. He had been beaten unmercifully. It had been predicted by Isaiah in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah that his visage, that is his face, would be unrecognizable as a man had he be so marred and beaten. That there were nails that were driven into his flesh, fastening him to that cross. Nails in his hands. And there were nails that fastened his feet to the old rugged cross. And there Jesus is suspended between heaven and earth. From 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was while Jesus was hanging on that cross that the earth was shrouded in darkness. According to Jewish law, one crucified had to be removed from the cross before sundown. It was Nicodemus who came, having asked for the body of Jesus. And with loving, gentle hands, he took the lifeless body of the Son of God down from that old cross. He took him to a tomb where no man had ever been buried before. He was placed inside that tomb. And then there was a mammoth stone of a circular nature that was rolled against the mouth of that tomb. A stone that would weigh in the neighborhood of 1,500, maybe 2,000 pounds. Massive. And it's now all over. Jesus is dead. And then 3 days go by. It's now Sunday morning. Luke 24, verse 1. And women are making their way to the tomb to anoint his body. And according to the text I just read to you from Mark's gospel, as they were on their way, they raised the question, who shall roll away the stone for us? Because it was heavy. But to their amazement, when they came to the tomb of Jesus, the stone had already been rolled away. And there was a man sitting there, and he said, Jesus is not here. If you're looking for him, he's not here. He's risen. He's just not here. You know, Jesus had predicted this would happen. He promised it would happen. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus told, this is in verse 21, Jesus said to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many things at the hand of the chief priests and the scribes, and he would be killed, and he would be raised again on the third day. You see, Jesus promised his resurrection. Over in Matthew chapter 12, he was asked for a sign by those that were not exactly his best friends. And Jesus said, there's not going to a sign be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. He said, just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus had promised he was going to be raised. It was also predicted that Jesus would be raised from the dead. In Psalms, the 16th chapter and verse 10, again from the pen of one of the great prophets, and that's the prophet David. He said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." This is hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus Christ came into the world in bodily form. It had been predicted by the prophet David and others that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. The day is Pentecost, found in the second chapter of Acts. The chief spokesman seems to be the Apostle Peter. And he's preaching to the very people who were guilty of crying out for the blood of Jesus. They had said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, reading down through the 24th verse, Peter's telling them that the one they had crucified was the Lord and the Christ. And he said then in verse 23, that you have taken him, and by wicked hands you've crucified him, you killed him. But I want you to note now verse 24. That is extremely significant in verse number 24. Whom God has raised up, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it or should endure it, or have to go through it. He's preaching Jesus' resurrection. Well, it's very likely that these people who were Jewish people would not believe Peter when he preaches that the one whose death they call for has been raised from the dead. But suppose Peter would begin to tell them what David had predicted in the Old Testament. Notice in verse 25, "For David says concerning him, if there was anyone the Jews would believe, it would have been their prophets. If there was any one of the prophets they would believe, it would have been David, who was both prophet and he was also a king." This is what David said, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand that I should not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. You will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You've made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Now, verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet," David was a prophet, "and knowing that God had sworn with oath to him that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." That was a prophecy back in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "He, foreseeing this," listen to him now, "spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, Who spoke of the resurrection of Christ? Hundreds of years ago, Peter is saying, David talked about the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. They had seen him. And Paul, as one out of due season, had seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. When Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus highway. And so the resurrection of Jesus had been promised by Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus had been predicted by the prophets. Jesus Christ's resurrection had been preached. The Apostle Paul came into the city of Athens. And Athens, well, Athens was very secular. Not unlike many of our metropolitan cities today. Maybe even some of our smaller little towns or suburbs. But it was a city that was given over to idolatry. And when the Apostle Paul came into the city of Athens, he came into this city of idolatry, and he was absolutely astonished. And he said, as he passed by, I saw an idol with the inscription on it, to the unknown God. Now listen to what Paul said to them. You say, what did that mean, to the unknown God? Well, they had idols everywhere and not titles on those gods all through the city. Someone has said it was easier to find a god in Athens than it was to find a man. And now Paul comes up on this idol and says, to the unknown God. And maybe they thought they were in fear of leaving out one they didn't know about. I don't know. There are all kinds of reasons or speculation. It's mostly speculation about why they entitled it thus. But based upon the context and what Paul said to them later in this chapter, it seems that there might have been a God they didn't know about, and so they wanted an idol to him. Listen to what Paul said. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. You don't know about this God. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands. And then in verse 26, he's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of all the earth. And then verse 27, that we should seek the Lord in the hope that we might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from every one of us. He's not far from anybody. He's not far from you. He's not far from me. For in him, verse 28, we live and move and have our being. Now, down in verse 30, therefore, truly, the times of this ignorance God overlooked. What ignorance? Of their not knowing about that true God. He said there was a time God winked at that. He overlooked that. But now commands all men everywhere to repent. And that would include the men of Athens. That would include the men in Russia. That would include the men in China. That would include the men in the United States. That would include every man, woman in South America, any nation throughout the whole world. All men everywhere should repent. Why? Listen to verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He's given assurance of this to all. What is assurance about all of that? By raising him from the dead. What did Paul preach when he came into the city of Athens? What did he preach when he came to a place given over to idolatry? What did he preach when he came to a place where they did not believe in the God of heaven? He preached God. He preached the true God. And he preached that one day you're going to face that God in the judgment. And he has given you assurance of that fact and let you know that for all time to come, that one day you will face him in the judgment. Because he raised his son from the dead. There were some that rejected what Paul said. And then there were others who believed. But you see, the resurrection of our Lord has been preached. It has been predicted. It has been promised. But there's the question to the women. Who's going to roll away the stone? Who rolled away the stone? You know that stone is testifying even in modern times. And that stone tells me there's such a thing as death. That death is a reality. Death is a cruel conquering king. Death's flowers are the faded roses that lie on coffin lids. And the chalice of his banquet hall is a skull. And death's pleasure fountains are the flowing tears of a weeping world. Here's a fact. All men will die. You cannot outlive your liability to death. It is appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9:27. Now, unless the Lord should come during your lifetime, we'll all die. And Jesus died. And then Jesus was put in that tomb. But Jesus Christ conquered death. You know, death has a way of separating people. When Jesus was put inside that tomb, that stone stood between the women and Jesus. It stood between the women and the Lord. And those that were on the outside, as one man said, could not get in. And those that were on the inside supposedly could not get out. But Jesus did. And death separates us from people that we love. And that's a hard thing to deal with, isn't it? I'm speaking to someone right now separated from somebody that you love dearly because they've already gone on to the other side of life. They've died. And that's tough. But it's not the end of it all because of Jesus. You know, David had two sons to die, Absalom, and then a child, an infant. And when that infant died, this is what David said about it. I shall go to him. He shall not come to me. And later David, when he wrote the great 23rd Psalm, says, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David had faith and the belief in that was life beyond the grave, life beyond death, after death. That empty tomb and that stone that had been rolled away testifies to the reality of death. It tells us how much hatred Jesus' enemies had for him. Who put Jesus in that tomb? Well, you say, pagan Rome put him in the tomb. Pagan Rome is responsible for... They're the ones that nailed him to the cross, and they're the ones that put him in the tomb. Pagan Rome, because there were soldiers stationed just outside the tomb. That's correct. But some of the religious leaders of that day put him in that tomb. They wanted him dead. They wanted him in that grave. That's where they wanted him. But there were powers within the supernatural world that put Jesus Christ in that tomb. There were principalities, according to Paul in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. When Jesus rose from the dead, He destroyed the principalities and the powers that put him there. What principalities? What powers? The work of the devil. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he was raised from the dead to destroy the devil's workshop. Listen to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The reason Jesus came into this world was because Satan is real, and Satan's power over mankind needed to be dealt with. And Jesus Christ came out of that grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he had with him the keys of death and hell, or Hades, the unseen world, in his hand. That's found in your Bible in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. You see, the day that Jesus died on that cross, and the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, is the very day death died. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has won the victory over Satan. And that stone speaks to that very fact. And that stone tells me about things that separate us from the Lord. That stone, those women said, who's going to roll away the stone? They knew that they couldn't get in to see the Lord if the stone was still there. And there are things that are standing between us and the Lord today, and that's sin. Sin is a great barrier, and Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead because of sin. I want you to listen to what the apostle wrote in the first chapter, or the 15th chapter rather, of 1 Corinthians. He said, Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, what did those Corinthians do to be saved from their sins? Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and they were baptized. Acts 18, verse 8. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Have you ever done that? If not, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou, is what was asked in Acts 22:16. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I'd urge you to do that without delay. I want to thank you for watching, getting to know your Bible today. And let me urge you to call for the free Bible correspondence course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.